Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Listen and grow as Del questions the status quo, encourages you to think differently, and empowers you to make a better life. Get ready as Del challenges core beliefs, seeks the truth, and reveals the roadmap to the lifestyle you really want. And now your host, multi-millionaire, national award-winning investor, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. My friends, today is that illustrious day. Once a year, it happens. I have to go see the tax man, have to go see my CPA and do my tax return. Now, it's late in the year. Normally, I get it done before April 15th or there about a couple weeks thereafter. What happens is we file an extension every year because I own so many different companies and I'm in so many different real estate deals with different people that I have to get all the information in. So it's not like I can just have all this stuff at my fingertips April 15th because most people don't get it to me on time. So what happens is that we take a period of time, we accumulate all that stuff, and then I take it into the CPA and the CPA goes through it all. I have to fill out tax return that's probably about 2 or 3, 4 inches thick. I know sometimes it's different every year. And then I have to fill out 17 different state income statements, or I'm sorry, tax returns. Some of them are, there's no tax. Some of them you have to pay some tax, whatever, depends on which state you're in. But I own a bunch of different businesses in different states. So why do I state all this to you? Well, because I think there's a learning opportunity here for you. Most people fear the tax man, fear the tax day, and I don't. Say, well, why is that? Well, because the way my businesses and my investments are set up, my depreciation from my real estate investments is large enough to cover a very large portion of my income. Now, not completely. And so we start the discussion with, whenever I teach taxation in a seminar, I always start with the question, how many people here think you pay too much in income taxes? And every red-blooded American that actually has a job and works and gets taxed is going to raise their hand and say, I do. I believe we pay way too much. Then I always ask the second question, which is, okay, how many if you paid over $400,000 in taxes last year? And nobody raises their hand. And then I make the statement, well, you don't have a tax problem. You have an income problem. Now, what do I mean by that? Let's think about it for a second. If you're not paying $400,000 a year, you're not making $1 million a year. If you make $1 million a year, you're going to be in the 40% tax bracket like I am, and you're going to pay $400,000 worth of taxes. So, well, Dale, how can you be happy about that? Well, because even though I have to pay them in, I end up getting most of it back. How has that happened, Dale? Well, it's a little well-known trick. Well-known to anybody who has any kind of money, makes any money, has any understanding of how wealthy people survive, or not survive, but excel, they know that rich people don't pay taxes because they use depreciation to cover that income. So how does that work? Well, let's say you own a rent house and you got to put up $10,000, right? You have to put up $10,000 to buy this rent house. And we're going to go borrow the rest of the money. And that's very important. If you don't use leverage, this doesn't work. I guarantee you, if you own real estate right now and it's not leveraged, this isn't working for you. It won't work for you. You have no idea why it doesn't work for you. You can't figure it out. It's because you have no leverage. You have to have leverage. So I borrow $100,000. I borrow $90,000 and put the $10,000 with it. I have $100,000. And now I have a $100,000 asset. The IRS tax code says I can depreciate that piece of residential real estate over 27 and a half years. So what I do is I just take and, first of all, get rid of the land. We can't depreciate land. It doesn't depreciate. But the assets do. The buildings and so on, all the improvements are going to depreciate. So in most cases, my land is just, give you a rule of thumb, about 15% of the value of an asset. So that means I've got about $85,000 of depreciable asset there. Now I divide that by 27.5 years, and that's going to give me a deduction of $3,090. Now, if I own this rent house, and I make $200 a month positive cash flow, I'm making $2,400 a year. That $3,090 covers all that. I pay no taxes on any of that $2,400 a year of income. Let's say I make $300 a month times 12. That's $3,600. Well, $3,090 of that I don't pay taxes on. The rest of it, which would be $510, I would pay taxes on that because it's not covered by depreciation. So this is why you have to have the leverage, because you need a lot more depreciation the more income you make. And if you don't have debt on the property, you're going to make too much cash flow and it's not going to cover it by the depreciation. Big mistake many, in fact, most people make. In fact, all Dave Ramsey people make, every single one of them. They just don't understand how this game's really played. So what you have to do is you have to look at this, not just, okay, there's your one rent house. So if you have five rent houses of similar stature of $100,000, you can write off $15,000 a year tax-free income. More realistically, houses today don't cost $100,000. So let's say they cost $300,000. So it's three times that. So each house is about $9,000 worth of income you can earn a year tax-free. So if you have five houses, you have $45,000 a year worth of tax-free income. Now, that's pretty amazing, right? That's pretty amazing. Now, let's say you go out there and you buy a very small apartment complex for $1 million. Maybe five units, six units, doesn't matter what it is. And you put down $100,000 and you borrow $90,000. Now you got $1 million worth of asset. You take off the land, which leaves you $850,000 worth of assets. And you depreciate that by 27.5 years and you end up with $30,909 worth of depreciation. So now you've got 30 grand of income tax-free a year. Some people, that's their whole salary. But here you go. You've got 30 grand a year tax-free. Man, think about that. Now, if you have $2 million, you have $60,000, $62,000 a year, because this is about $31,000 a year. Now, let's talk about buying a little bit larger apartment complex, $10 million, which would be still a small apartment in this day and age, at $100,000 a door. What would it be? 10 million would be 1,000 units, something like that. Still a small apartment. And in that case, you were able to write off $309,000 a year. Think about that. You could earn $309,000 a year and not pay taxes on it. That's just an incredible thing. Now, if you go to your CPA, they're not going to know this. Or they're going to say you don't qualify. And you don't qualify because you haven't been to my class to figure out what it is it takes to qualify. You have to be a real estate professional. Very simple thing to do. Very easy to qualify for. You just have to do the right things to do it. But you're not. You won't. And so you don't qualify for it. So you've got a CPA that doesn't know how to teach you how to do the right things to be able to earn your income tax-free. That's the way it works out there. Just because someone's a CPA, just because someone's an attorney, doesn't mean they know what they're talking about. I was just to laugh about, what do you call the guy who was last in his legal class? Attorney. What do you call the guy who was last in his medical class? Doctor. They're the worst ones out there, but they still got the degree. Somehow, some way, they ended up with the title. Doesn't mean they know what they're doing, right? And so you're in this situation where I'm able to earn $300,000 on this small apartment complex tax-free. The apartment probably only earns me about $300,000 a year tax-free. And so every penny I make from it is all tax-free. Now, if I made $400,000 in an apartment, oh, boo-hoo, I'd have to pay taxes on $100,000. But that's boo-hoo I have no problem with. And what do you do to solve that problem? It's easy. You go buy more real estate. So there's lots of different little things that go along with this that if you come to my seminar, I'm going to explain them all to you in detail and how to work around being legally able to do all this stuff. This is all stuff that all your senators, all your congressmen, the president, he brags about he does it. Everybody out there that knows anything uses these tax benefits, loopholes, whatever you want to call them, to get out of paying income taxes. That's just all there is to it, guys. In addition to that, being a real estate investor, there are no Social Security and Medicare taxes. Now I pay Social Security and Medicare on the business that I work in, which is the seminar business, which is what I'm talking to around the radio about, coming out to our seminars. But whatever I pay myself from there, that's salaried income. I have to pay Social Security and Medicare on it. But the rest of my income, everything else is Social Security, Medicare free, because it's investment income. So you don't pay all that stuff. It's just interesting to see how much money people pay in that they don't need to pay in because they don't know what they're doing. They're set up their business wrong, et cetera, et cetera. I can go on and on and on. I'm not a CPA, but I've been doing this for years and years. And you see all the mistakes they make, and you help them get on track and get it lined up again. So as I was going to break, I was talking about how do you double the amount of depreciation you take in. There's a thing called accelerated depreciation. Now, there's many different forms of accelerated depreciation. But in real estate, we use a form called cost segregation. And the basis for depreciation is basically that assets are wearing out. And instead of waiting till an asset is completely worn out and you throw it away and then write it off as a loss, you're able to take a small piece of that loss every year against your income taxes. So if you do that, you know, over a period of time, you know, 27 and a half years, if you take straight line depreciation, 27 and a half years from now, there's no depreciation left. So you got to go buy something else to depreciate. That's just the way it is. But, you know, nobody should hold on to the same real estate for 27 and a half years in most cases. That would not be something you would do. So you're constantly adding new pieces to your portfolio, new properties, and they are bringing new, fresh depreciation in. But even so, you can use something called accelerated depreciation by using this cost segregation. And what cost segregation does, it recognizes that different parts of your asset, not the actual building itself, but all the movable parts, the stoves, the refrigerators, the carpet, the fence, the driveways, that everything out there is depreciating at a much quicker basis than 27 and a half years. Yes, the building will fall down in 27 and a half years, supposedly, quote unquote, for the depreciation schedule. But the rest of the stuff wears out in either a 5-year period, a 7-year period, a 10-year period, a 15-year period, or all the rest gets dumped into 27 and a half years. So when you take the apartment and you give it to a CPA, and they do a cost segregation analysis, they'll come back and tell you this much of the value of this piece of real estate is 5-year depreciable assets. This much is 7-year depreciable assets. This much is 10-year depreciable assets. This much is 15-year depreciable assets. And they will set up different depreciation schedules for you. And on your tax return, there will be different columns for depreciation. There'll be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different columns for depreciation. And you will book those amounts of depreciation and carry on your book something called accumulated depreciation for each one of those types, and so on and so on. When you do that, when you do cost segregation, if done correctly on the right pieces of property, you can almost double your depreciation. Now, it doesn't work that well on single-family houses because there's not a lot of other stuff that you can depreciate. Well, I take that back. There is, but the cost of doing the cost segregation report and having it broken out by your CPA is not that cost-effective. So on single-family houses, I've never done it. But on apartment complexes, I've always done it. So they're going to break out, you know, your stoves and your refrigerators and your refrigerators, dishwashers. All those are going to write off very quickly. I think those are maybe, I think those are 10-year depreciable assets. They last 10 years and they're gone. Carpet is like a 2-year depreciable asset. I mean, it's unbelievable, but they write it off in the 5 category. Because within 5 years, carpet never, you can't keep the same tenant on 5 years of carpet or multiple tenants on the same carpet for 5 years. So they write that off in 5 years. Stuff like fences, those may go for 15 years. Parking lots may go for 15 years. They wear out slower, but they do wear out. And so you have all these different things, and they do this report for you, and they do this analysis. You only need to do the analysis one time. It's right when you buy it. And then you take that analysis, and you figure out your tax return each year. So I go into my CPA now, and I've got to bring in it. I've got, my gosh, I think I own 17 different grocery stores, and I own, like, you know, 25 different real estate apartment deals I don't know that I'm in. All these different things that I own, plus all these different real estate companies. I own, like, 7 real estate companies and mortgage companies, and I owned software companies and all these different businesses. I have to get all these income statements together, and income statement has the profit and loss for the year, and I bundle all those. Then I have to get all my 1099s, and I have to get all my K-1s and all my, you know, all my partnership deals that I'm in. I have to get all my K-1s from all my partners, dump those in there, get all those in there. Same thing with my S corporations that I have and any LLCs. All that stuff has to come in, and you pile it all up and you check it all off your checklist and make sure you got it all. Then you set up your appointment. You go in and give your CPA, and he comes out with his list from the year before and says, first of all, is there anything new? And you tell him all the new stuff. He adds that to the list. Then he goes down the old list. And inevitably, I've always forgot something. Never happened that I ever got it completely right. I've always had to go back and find something I didn't bring with me the first day. We'll take a short break. Be right back with the Del Wamsley Radio Show.
Teaching you with a roadmap to creating the lifestyle you really want. Keep listening. The Del Wamsley Radio Show returns in moments.
The Lifestyles Unlimited team of real estate investing mentors and educators want to meet you. Learn to retire in 5 years or less. Text the word radio to 88007. That's radio to 88007. Join for just $297. Lifestyles Unlimited.
You're hearing the Del Wamsley Radio Show. Want more life-changing knowledge? Access our podcast and listen on demand at lifestylesunlimited.com under the radio tab. Now your host, Del Wamsley.
Welcome back to the Del Wamsley Radio Show. Today we're talking about doing tax returns and getting money back from the IRS and how to do that with depreciation. And we just got done talking about accelerated depreciation, where we take the useful life of the asset and depreciate it by the useful life as opposed to the 27.5 years standard base depreciation level. And what does that do? That basically doubles it. So let's go back through. If you have a $10,000 down payment, you buy a house for 100 grand, you'd have 6,000 in depreciation if you doubled it. If you had 100 grand, you know, you'd have $60,000, actually it's $31,000, so it's $62,000 worth of depreciation on a small 5 or 6 unit apartment complex. Can you imagine that, making $62,000 a year tax-free? It's just unbelievable. If you get a little bit larger apartment, say a 100-unit apartment complex, costs you about $10 million, you would be able to write off about $640,000. Can you imagine that? $600,000 a year tax free, one apartment, all you need, 100-unit apartment complex, let's do it right, do it one time, do it perfectly, set it up right, set up the depreciation right, get the whole thing right, manage it right, one business, one location, one deal, kaboom. I just don't know how people get up and go to work every day. It just blows my mind, because they just don't understand this stuff. And if they did, they would not have to work as hard as they do. You would still have to work, don't get me wrong. I still get up and do things. But in a situation where you, number one, don't have to work as hard, and number two, you're getting tax benefits that the average person doesn't get. Real estate is the most tax-preferenced for-profit business that there is. Unless there's some other one that super smart people, super rich people know about that I don't. Like, you know, when you drill dry holes, you get to write all that off. Well, the problem is you just lost $4 million, $10 million drilling that dry hole. Of course you get to write it off. This is, you've made money and you get to write it off. That's the bizarre part about all this, right? So a lot of rich people have things they can write off because they lost money. and they write it off against the money they make. And if you make a lot of money, then, well, okay, then I get to write some of the stuff off it didn't do so well on. And we'll throw the mud on the wall. We'll see which one sticks. That's not what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about you make money with the real estate and you still write off the depreciation and cover the earned income tax-free. Now, if you have enough deductions, you can write the depreciation off against all of your passive income and if you're a real estate professional. I'm a real estate professional. My wife's a real estate professional. It's all we do. And that's our job. That's our business. That's our full-time thing. We do it that's what we do for a living. And so we are real estate professionals by the very nature of what you'd call yourself, what I am. So when you look at this situation, you think about what would happen if I didn't. Well, you know, I told you a year ago I got back $720,000. I wouldn't have got that back. I'd already paid it in. It's already gone. I didn't have to write a check for $720,000. I'd already paid it in. 2 years ago, I wouldn't have got back $1,200,000. And again, I'd already paid the money in. It's not like I'd have to take a check, write a check, and go to the bank or go to the IRS with a check for, you know, $1.2 million. I mean, I literally got that back from the IRS. That was what my tax refund was after doing my tax return. So I think you can understand that tax day for me takes on a completely different meaning than tax day for you, because I've been earning and paying and earning and paying and earning and paying. And at the end of the year, I want to get it back. You say, well, why don't you just not pay it in? That's a good question, because you could just not pay it in and come back and say, well, I don't know it, didn't know it, so I shouldn't have to have paid it in. Yeah. The difference between the $720,000 1 year and the $1.2 million the next year, if I had miscalculated that, right, then I would have had massive penalty and interest charges. So you're better off just to go ahead and pay the stuff in and then get it back out. Now, where is that maybe not true? When you have standard deductions, you got four or five kids or whatever, and you can change your withholding. A lot of people change their withholding so they don't take as much out each paycheck. I understand that arrangement. But when you're talking about businesses that you don't know from year to year how much money each business will make, I mean, businesses have great years, they have poor years, they have everything in between. The way you make it a great life is you have tons of businesses. I own tons of different businesses. In fact, many different types of businesses. So what happens is, you know, hopefully there's a little diversification there. And if there's a bad year in one, there's a good year in another, et cetera, et cetera. So when you do this, you want to make sure that you are paying those taxes in. I'm not telling you to not pay your taxes. Don't get me wrong, because you will end up messing up and you will end up getting killed. I've seen more people in my 35 years of consulting lose everything because they didn't pay their taxes in. At the end of the year, something comes up. They don't have the cash. They can't get to the cash to pay it in, write the check, stroke the check for the amount they owe, and boom. Now the IRS is after them. Now they're in trouble. And that's the beginning of the end. Once the IRS starts chasing you, my gosh, it's a scary, scary thing, because they are the largest collection agency in the world. Remember, when they went after the mafia, they couldn't pull and or get the mafia. So what did they do? They went after them with the IRS and got them. I think it was Al Capone they took down with the IRS. I'm not sure if that's the exact guy, but I think it is. And they couldn't get him. They couldn't arrest him. But boy, the IRS got him, took him down. So let's not let that happen to you. But on the other hand, let's not be afraid to use the tax code that government has given us. Remember, you voted these people in. They voted for these laws. These laws are in place. Right now, Trump is trying to pass the Big Beautiful Bill or something like that, which lowers tax rates and maintains these deductions that we've had for 100 years, whatever it's been. I know ever since I was ever a kid, I've ever known real estate, they've had these deductions. They've gotten better in some periods and they've gotten worse in some periods. When I first started, they were even better. You could write off anything, even no matter who you were. Now you can only write off stuff like this if you know that you're a real estate professional. You can write off small amounts if you're not a real estate professional, but you can't write off these giant deductions unless you are a real estate professional. So it's changed. Those laws have gotten tighter, but they're still there. You just have to know how to make it work, right? And so as I sit here, get ready to go, start collecting all my stuff up, tightening up my accumulation. The one thing I told you earlier when we went to break is that I almost never get it right. Almost never. I always forget something. It's an amazing thing. There's just so many different businesses I own and so many different things that I get interest from and so many different savings accounts that I have to track and business accounts I have to track. And oh, my God. So I will be tied up working on this to get it all together, to get it over to the CPA. But boy, I tell you what, when I walk out of that CPA's room, I'm so relieved. And then when he calls me back and says, okay, here's all your returns, sign them all, fill out a check and send the money. Because the state ones, I never prepay the state taxes. So all the different state income tax returns, I can put in 1,000 here, 2,000 there, whatever it is, pay these state income tax returns. And you get all that done for the year, and man, it feels good to have that done and to know. But to see that money coming back, saying, hey, this is what you're going to get back, that is an amazing feeling to know that after 35 years of doing real estate investing, to know that I know how this works, that we've mastered it in a manner and such that it works for us to the point that it does, you're going to want to do it. That's all I can tell you. If you get out here and you're not getting money back from the IRS, if you're not being allowed to earn tax-free income, no Social Security, no Medicare, and no income taxes, right? Now, in the end here, what if when you die, you've owned all this real estate your whole life, hundreds of thousands, millions, tens of millions or hundreds of millions of dollars worth of real estate, and each year you depreciate it, and you're writing it down. And what that's doing is that is creating a deficit between what the property's worth and what you could sell it for. So on your books, your asset is losing value on its books, but in reality, it's probably gaining value. So you buy a $10 million apartment complex, and over 10 years, you depreciate it down, that was about $300,000 a year, so about $3 million. So it's now worth $7 million on your books, but it's now probably worth $20 million. Now, if you were to sell that, you would have to recapture both the $3 million you wrote off and the $10 million in capital gains, unless you did something called a 1031 tax-free exchange, in which case you would just simply go buy another piece of real estate. When you sell this one, roll all of that gain into the next property and not pay taxes. So you mean to tell me I can write stuff off to not pay taxes, and then at the end, I can move all those write-offs onto another property to still not pay taxes on them? Absolutely. It's called a 1031 exchange. How many times can I do that? Unlimited number of times. For how long? For the rest of your life. You don't have to ever pay those taxes ever unless you want to. You just keep 1031-ing forward. And remember, you only have to do that once every 27 and a half years. If you hold on to the property, you still do depreciation. Now, if you use accelerated depreciation, by the way, you're using it up much quicker. So by about 15 years, you've used up most of your depreciation. It's better to go ahead and 1031 forward into another deal then. So you don't pay taxes. But wait, there's more. It's even more devastating than that. Now, if I were to leave, let's say I bought a portfolio of stocks, and when I bought it, it was worth $1 million, and by the time I died, my 401k was worth $10 million. Kids inherited the $10 million. They'd have to immediately pay the taxes on the $1 million I paid for the portfolio to the $10 million worth today. They'd have to pay the taxes on the $9 million. But in real estate, that doesn't happen. In real estate, it's the craziest thing in the world. They inherit the property of what it's worth today. And so if I bought it at $10 million, depreciated it down to $7 million, and now it's worth $20 million, they're going to inherit it at a $20 million basis and pay none, zero, of the income taxes I owed on the $13 million I had not paid taxes on. All of my income tax on all of that money just goes away. I know you can't believe this. I know you think that's insanity, that I've got to be lying. It just goes away. Look it up. It's called stepped up basis. Talk to your CPA about it, whatever, if you don't believe me. But it just disappears. And then what about your kids? Well, now they own the property at $30 million, and now they can depreciate that $30 million all over again. Starts all over. Remember, we depreciated it down. Now it starts all over for your kids. It's the most unbelievable thing. And it's been there for 100 years. Hasn't changed. My entire lifetime, it hasn't changed. They keep threatening to change it. They don't. Every time the Dems are trying to, you know, get voted in, they swear, threaten they're going to fix all these tax loopholes. But they never do. Think about that. They never do because they're benefiting from them also. So are all their donors that are giving them the hundreds of millions of dollars of money to run their campaigns. And so they just won't fix them. That would really irritate all the people that are donating money for them to run on. So there you go. What is the secret to never paying taxes on real estate investing? Basically this: defer. Don't pay. Defer again. Don't pay. Defer, defer, defer. Don't pay. And then 1031, defer again to another property. And then depreciate and don't pay. And then 1031 again into another property and depreciate and don't pay. Defer, 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 and then die. And when you die, all that income tax stuff goes away. It's an unbelievable deal. It really is. So, as we end today, I just wanted to let you know that it's just a day after Memorial Day weekend, and interesting thing. My wife decided, since we're having two different parties, two different sets of people over, she wanted to get rid of all the lawn furniture, although you really wouldn't call mine lawn furniture. I have like a resort. So the resort furniture, we went and bought all new stuff. I had to build it all, put it in there, the whole bit. But then we took the old stuff, and she goes, just stick it out by the street. Somebody's going to want it. And usually there's like maintenance guys or lawn care guys or somebody drive by and they'll grab whatever it is we stick out. It doesn't matter what we stick out there. Somebody grabs it. It never gets picked up by the trash people. I woke up today. I go, oh, I forgot to put the trash out. So I'm rolling my trash cans down to the street, and I see that the stuff we put out there is gone. And I look across the street at the neighbor's yard, and there it was. They grabbed all of our stuff, the next door neighbor, this neighbor across the street. And I thought about it. I remember this saying that my dad used to have. He said, one man's trash is another man's treasure. Just because this stuff was 5, 6, 7 years old, my wife could not stand to look at it another year. Somebody else goes, wow, look at that stuff. And they grabbed it. Now, I don't know what they're doing with it. They might be giving it to their kids. I mean, you know, this is an expensive neighborhood. They might be using it themselves. They might be giving it to their kids. They might be giving it to their employees. They might be selling it. Who knows what they're doing with it? We just don't have the energy nor the time to do all that stuff. So we gave it away. And there it goes. The world moves on. And that's what you should be doing. Moving on to a bigger, better life for the rest of your life. Because it's not the money, it's the lifestyle. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Want more of Del's unconventional wisdom? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com and click the radio tab. Listen to past shows, hear podcasts on demand, and find out how you can change your life today. The Del Walmsley Radio Show is part of the Lifestyles Unlimited Radio Network.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Walmsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Walmsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Walmsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Walmsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.